From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Each message is devoted to an entire book and will provide you with a summary of the purpose, the doctrines, and the applications of the book to the Christian life. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of an overview of the Gospel of Luke. The theme of Luke's Gospel may be stated as what Christ feels. Luke shows clearly that the gospel is for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. A particular emphasis in Luke's account is Christ's reaching out in love to a variety of sinners, touching them with not only physical healing, but with deliverance from sin. Dr. Cairns will continue this message in a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Walk in the Light. The text is John chapter 12, verse 46, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. This world is dark as midnight. Jesus has come that by faith we may have light, and may no longer sit in the gloom which covers all the rest of mankind. Whosoever is a very wide term. It means you and me. If we trust in Jesus, we shall no more sit in the dark shadow of death, but shall enter into the warm light of a day which shall never end. Why do we not come out into the light at once? A cloud may sometimes hover over us, but we shall not abide in darkness if we believe in Jesus. He has come to give us broad daylight. Shall he come in vain? If we have faith, we have the privilege of sunlight. Let us enjoy it. From the night of natural depravity, of ignorance, of doubts, of despair, of sin, of dread, Jesus has come to set us free. And all believers shall know that he no more comes in vain than that the sun rises and fails to scatter his heat and light. Shake off thy depression, dear brother. Abide not in the dark, but abide in the light. In Jesus is thy hope, thy joy, thy heaven. Look to him only, and thou shalt rejoice as the birds rejoice at sunrise, and as the angels rejoice before the throne.
Bending wings.
It was a number of years ago that Dr. Alan Cairns preached these messages, in which he explains the teaching of each of the New Testament books. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation, a book which tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're happy to make them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, supplies of A Sure Foundation are very limited. Be sure to request your copy today.
The Lord Jesus was in the house of Simon the Pharisee. The Pharisee thought that he was doing Christ a great favor, having him into his home. He didn't even give him the normal courtesies of the day. He didn't wash his feet after the dusty pathway he had taken. But this woman of the streets, this fallen, immoral, wretched creature who was looked down upon by Simon the Pharisee, she came in, and we find that she brought an alabaster box, and she split it open, and she washed his feet with her tears, and wiped them with her hairs, and kissed his feet, and then anointed them with ointment. A woman who was a sinner. Simon wanted to push her out. Who would want to touch her? She's the off-scarring of all flesh. She's morally corrupt. She's physically filthy. Why would any decent person touch her? But Jesus Christ welcomed the fallen woman. And when she went out of his presence, she was a fallen woman no more. For thank God she was gloriously saved. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to recapture it. Instead of having our churches as little clubs of goody-goody people who don't touch the real world, to realize that Christ receiveth sinful men and sinful women. This woman, the sinner in the city, was touched and healed and saved. Chapter 8, verse 2, we find there were certain women that he healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And one of them was Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Here's another poor woman. In this case, there's no evidence that she was an immoral woman. But in some way, she had come under the awful power of Satan. Now let me tell you, I don't know what Mary's background was, I don't know what her lifestyle had been, but anybody who ever comes under the possession and the control of the devil and his legions is in a sorry state, in a corrupt state, in a filthy state, and in a most ungodly state, and on top of it all, in a most miserable state. The picture of Mary Magdalene as she came into the presence of Christ is of a life that's wrecked and dominated by the devil. But the Lord Jesus cast the devils out. The Lord Jesus healed her of her infirmities. The Lord Jesus cleansed her of every satanic power and influence. Thank God he's still the same today. We find that truth again in chapter 8, verse 26 to 39, where he deals with the demoniac of Gadara. This man was an outcast. This man could only live among the tombs. This man was shattered and broken, severed from home and loved ones. Then Jesus came, and he set him gloriously free. In that same chapter, verse 43, there's a woman with the issue of blood. This woman had spent all. Here she is, defiled, cut off from much of the worship of the temple. Here's a woman. She hasn't any more money. She can't seek any more physicians. All they've done is made her worse anyway. Her life is shattered. She has nothing to give to Christ. But thank God he had everything to give to her. And he healed her. He cleansed the woman and her issue. That day life began because Jesus Christ had time for the poor, outcast woman. Jairus' daughter in verse 49 of chapter 8 was already dead. You can't be any poorer or any more outcast or any more impoverished or any more powerless than that. But the Lord Jesus went in and with one word, he raised her. In chapter 16, we read the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus lying outside the gate of the rich man's house. A beggar. He had nothing. But what happens? The Lord Jesus brings him to heaven. And there you find that the beggar died and was carried into Abraham's bosom. In chapter 17, those 10 lepers that I mentioned, outcasts, can you see them? Unclean, unclean. Everybody afraid to come within touching distance of them. If you want to get something of an idea of the position of the leper, just imagine that public feeling and public fear of the AIDS epidemic was 100 times worse than it is. Just imagine that what that one Australian doctor said about Magic Johnson probably or possibly infecting other players on a basketball court. Just imagine that that cry was being taken up by every doctor in the land, and they were saying that just a touch is enough to infect you. Imagine if that were happening, what the public would do by way of reaction. Imagine how they would treat every sufferer from AIDS. And then you'll get a picture of what the people of those days felt and how those people reacted when they were dealing with lepers. The leper was a total outcast. Nobody would dare to deal with them. But Jesus did. And he healed the 10 of them and sent them on their way. In chapter 18, we read from verse 35 of the blind beggar at Jericho. Son of David, have mercy on me. In chapter 19, we read of him dealing with Zacchaeus, the publican, the most despised and hated man in the area. And rightly so. None of us today particularly loves tax collectors. Imagine if the tax collector were in the employ of an occupying and enemy force. Imagine if he had his power upheld by an occupying enemy army. Imagine if he were raking off a lot extra for himself, and that quite legally, and you'll see how much the tax collector was legitimately despised. He was a most despicable and hateful character, in many ways a traitor to his people, a turncoat and a betrayer. You can't get much lower than Zacchaeus was. He was not only small of stature, he was mean of spirit. But Jesus came. This day is salvation come to thy house. And Zacchaeus is no longer the mean-spirited publican. Zacchaeus is now totally transformed to a man of godliness and generosity. Zacchaeus was saved. Jesus said in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 19, that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then there's one final touch in the Gospel of Luke. You don't get it anywhere else in the Gospels. Chapter 23 and verse 39. When Christ was on the cross, everybody cursed him. Everybody mocked him. Everybody railed on him. Even the malefactors, the thieves on either side, even they joined in the chorus. But Luke records this. One of the malefactors, who had already himself been railing on Christ, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God? And so on. And then he says, verse 42, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verse 43, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Even on Calvary, even there, hung up upon the cross, Jesus Christ was still saving the outcast. Now I want you to look and notice very clearly the people in this gospel that Jesus saved. And I want you to realize, he is the savior of sinners, real sinners. Man, we would need to get that into our hearts. There's hope for the hopeless. There's cleansing for the most filthy. There's deliverance for the most imprisoned soul in Greenville. You look out upon a nation of sinners today, and by and large, people give them up. We are much too quick at giving sinners up. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Man, if you come into this meeting with a heart that's filthy, with a mind that's unclean, with a life that's broken, the devil's in control. You're an outcast from decency. You find that there is no hope within yourself. You've tried everything, but it's failed. Well, the message is, Jesus Christ receiveth sinners. The Pharisees didn't like it. The Pharisees still don't like it. But it's still true. He receiveth sinners. Those are the people that he saved. You add to those people the parables that he told. I've mentioned the Good Samaritan. There was a man on the road down to Jericho. He was overtaken by thieves. He was left for dead. He had lost everything. Then this stranger comes by. His own religious leaders have abandoned him. But this stranger comes by, picks him up, and makes sure that he's healed and all expenses paid. Man, I want to tell you that, in a nutshell, is the gospel. For people cast down, kicked about, robbed, beaten, left for dead, on the verge of destruction, here is the gospel. It's not a Samaritan who has come. It's the Son of God who has come. He has paid the price. And he has put out the effort. And he has done the work. Then in chapter 14, there's the parable of the marriage supper. You remember that the message was to go out into the highways and into the byways. And to get all sorts of people to come in. Verse 13, the Lord says, when you make a feast, call the poor and the maim and the lame and the blind. And he says, in effect, that's what the Lord himself does. He says, go out into the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Verse 23. And there's another one who doesn't know Luke chapter 15. You've got three lost things. Actually, two of them are peculiar to Luke. There's the lost sheep. Now, that's spoken of in other places. But there's the lost coin. And then there's the lost son. Luke brings them all together here. Here are three parables of Christ. And why does he tell them? He tells them because he's giving an answer to the Pharisees' complaint. This man receiveth sinners. The Lord Jesus defends himself. Does he deny it? No, no. He says, yes, I do receive sinners. I not only receive sinners, I look for sinners. I'm not just waiting to receive them. I'm going out after them. I'm not sitting here until they come. I'm going out to bring them. That's what he's saying. He went out after the lost sheep. He went and he searched for the lost coin. And he went after the lost son.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.